Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 23. I invite you to stand. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woe to you blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And if you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So, whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. Whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now our scripture lesson for the sermon. From Matthew chapter 5, our Lord teaches, again you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let everything you say be simply yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said. Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing and enable us to pursue the righteousness that you have called us unto. Enable us to keep our eyes fixed upon your Son and our Savior, following his words and his ways. We pray this in his matchless name, and amen. You may be seated. Swearing surrounds us. Oath-taking surrounds us. Here are some examples. I give you my word. You can take this to the bank. I swear. You can count on me. My word is my bond. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States. With God as my witness, so help me God. I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I take thee to be my lawful wedded wife, and I do promise and covenant before God and these witnesses to be thy loving and faithful husband. Swearing and oath-taking surrounds us. Our Lord's Sermon on the Mount continues. A new subject is before us. This subject now pertains to our words, our speech, our signatures, as well as our commitments and our intentions. Our Lord is presenting to us in this sermon the life and the conduct, the character of those who are his followers. If you say, I'm a follower of the Lord, we are to walk this way. This happens to be the behavior and the character of the citizens of his kingdom. They live in this way, not in some other way. Swearing, oath-taking. This does not mean cussing. The swearing here does not refer to what's come to be known as cussing or foul language. You can't go to this passage and go, yep, this is where Jesus says, don't speak that way. Jesus is referring to taking an oath. So our Lord deals with oaths here. More on that in a moment. What is an oath? What is this kind of swearing? But first we need to ask this question. Is this really all that big of a deal? Is this really all that important? Yes. Just love the interaction. Is this all that important? Our Lord has dealt with three very weighty matters. He began by dealing with the wrath and the rage of our anger. the anger which breaks apart relationships. He then went on and addressed the heat of our sinful passions, our lusts, which tears relationships apart. So he's gone from anger to our sinful lusts. And then our Lord spoke of the tearing apart of the marriage relationship through porneia, sexual immorality, and divorce. Those are important matters, and everyone is saying those deserve print and press and speech. Yes, those are big issues. Those are public. Those are tragic. Those are big deals. Those are real issues. Just look around. Just open the doors and walk outside. You're going to find someone, matter of fact, even today, you're going to find someone's been dealing with their anger, someone's been dealing with their lust, and there's all kinds of squabbles going on with marriage. Yet now our Lord speaks of our speaking. He comments upon our commitments. Is this really all that important? Have you ever broken your word? Has anyone ever broken their word to you? Our Lord is concerned with kingdom citizenship and kingdom righteousness. And in this, in the three that preceded this, we can see the importance. The pursuit of reconciliation, quick and ready reconciliation, is essential for dealing with anger. Anger's out there. Stop letting it smolder. Get about the reconciliation. Go now. Stop it. Go. Don't even bring your offering to the altar. Stop it. Our Lord spoke of the commitment to purity as necessary for dealing with your lusts. I'm dealing with my lust. And then people say, I'm going to deal with my lust by talking about it. No. Our Lord says, you got to start cutting some things off. Where's your commitment? Oh, well, you know, I'm committed to talking about it. I'm committing to having a pool of accountability where somebody can understand what it is that I'm sizzling with. No. Stop it. Go cut it off. Stop saying yes to yourself and the idol of you. We can see the importance of that. And our Lord also spoke about the perseverance necessary to promote and to protect the marriage bond. And of course, everybody blames anger. Oh, if you only know how angry he was or she is, it doesn't matter what I've done. They just want out. They're looking for the exit signs. Make sure they're all lit. I need to get out of here. Now. And anger promotes that. And lusts, porneia, promotes that. People are going up, out, done, gone. Our Lord speaks of perseverance in the marriage bond. But what does it look like when it comes to our words and our commitments? Let me just personalize this. What does it look like when it comes to your words, your commitments? Our Lord has dealt with heart anger, rage within. He's dealt with heart lusts, heart adultery, likely even heart divorce. Ugh. Where does this come from? Well, we know that the mouth speaks of what fills the heart. What about your words and your commitments? Our Lord is just as concerned with kingdom righteousness here, and his comments on swearing, oath-taking, is consistent with the whole Bible. And it's also consistent with his very nature. So let's see what our Lord says. Verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old. You have heard this. You shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. I think you have a sermon outline, so you can follow along these passages that I'm going to be going through right now. Our Lord is citing Scripture. Matter of fact, he's citing a number of passages of Scripture. The very first passage he is referring to is Leviticus 19:12. This is what Leviticus 19:12 says. By the way, everybody, you know, years gone by, people would have these little bracelets or t-shirts, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Answer to that is he would quote Leviticus. If you ever wondered about that, I'm looking for a t-shirt. What would Jesus do? He would quote Leviticus. Anyway, Leviticus 19:12, and you shall not swear by my name falsely. It's assumed you're going to swear. It's assumed you're going to take an oath. Don't do it falsely if you're going to swear by my name. Nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. He's also drawing from Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. And this is what is said there. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, yes, that's what I'll do, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. You could even say all that extends from his signature. Our Lord is also drawing from Deuteronomy 23. I'm going to be reading to you from Deuteronomy 23. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. Did you say something that you do? And everybody goes, well, I didn't commit to the Lord, I committed to you. No. The Lord hears everything. That's what we're going to be getting to. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you. And it would be sin to you. Don't delay. The Lord's going to require it. And then the law says, but if you abstain from vowing, if you say, you know, I'm just not going to vow there, I'm not going to make an oath, I'm not going to swear, it will not be a sin to you. Here we are, Deuteronomy 23, 23. That which has gone from your lips, you shall keep and perform. For you voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God, which you promised with your mouth. Did you say it? Do it. Pretty simple. This is what our, again, you have heard that it was said in days gone by. By the way, Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5, listen to this. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. How do you know if someone's a fool? That somebody says, yeah, I'm going to do that, and then they don't do it. God doesn't take pleasure in fools. Ecclesiastes goes on, pay what you vowed. Pay it. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Jonah 2:9. Jonah reflects upon his time in the great fish. And what does he say? That which I have vowed, I will pay. Get me out of here. I'm going to keep my word. Psalm 15:4, our responsive psalm earlier today. Who's going to dwell with the Lord? Well, the one who swears to his own hurt and doesn't change. You know what? I gave my word. I'm going to do it. It's going to cost me. I'm going to do it. Psalm 24:4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Okay. Oaths are present. Oaths, swearing, oaths are taken throughout the Old Covenant. God's people have been an oath-taking people. In that sense, you could say they are people who swear. God's people are a swearing people. You say that today, people go, what are you talking about? In a biblical sense. All right, what is an oath? What is an oath? In one sense, oaths are usually spoken, but biblically, an oath is any extension of yourself, any commitment of yourself. So, you could... this? Sign your name. Your name is an extension of who you are. You're giving a piece of yourself. You know, we're not handing a sandal to somebody and saying, here, you can have my sandal or my cloak. You get the idea. The cloak that was to be handed over in pledge was to be held. This is Jeff's cloak, and he will get this cloak back when he finishes the work. That was our agreement. When spoken, okay, you could say that an oath is a verbal signature in that sense. But an oath is more than that. It's more than just keeping one's word. An oath is more than being reliable in what someone said that he or she would do. An oath involves others. Somebody that just oaths to themselves, they hold themselves accountable. Then they let themselves off the hook. You know, I gave myself my word, I can let myself off the hook. No, an oath involves other people. One gives an oath, gives his or her word to another. I shall do that. And others are involved and able to hold them. Excuse me, didn't you say you were going to do that? But there's more. An oath or swearing in this biblical sense, from all those passages from the law of God, is actually calling upon the Lord to be a witness. Lord, you've heard the words that I've said. And you know what? Even if you don't do that, everybody's all freaking out about drones. Oh, they might see something. Well, the Lord sees everything. But I didn't say it in his name. The Lord heard. You said you were going to do something. An oath, swearing in the biblical sense, is calling upon the Lord to be a witness to your words. And when you do this, you are actually calling upon him to hold you responsible. You know what that means? You are asking the Lord to stand in judgment over your words and commitments. Oh, base commitments. People make commitments, pledges here. They're basically saying, you know, I'll do this in weddings here. Stand. I'll do this in the triune name. Lord, you're a witness. All these people standing here, they're witnesses as well. You're asking the Lord to stand in judgment over what it is you've said. The Lord hears all, knows all, and sees all, even if you've got your fingers crossed and your back. Lord sees that. Heard you. And in this sense, the Lord is judge, jury, and executioner of our words. By the way, this is why oath-taking, swearing in the Old Testament was to be done in the name of the Lord. If God's people were supposed to be a swearing, oath-taking people, and they were only to do so in the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. And everybody's agreeing. Everybody's a bobblehead there. And shall take oaths in his name. Deuteronomy 6:13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. If you're going to stand and take an oath, it's got to be in his name. Deuteronomy 10:20, you shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. You shall swear in his name. What's the basis of all of this? Ninth commandment. We're in relationship with one another. Remember, everything Jesus is speaking about here in the Sermon on the Mount is our relationships. Relationships of wrath, rage, anger, or reconciliation. Relationships of sinful sexual passions or self-denial and support of one another. Relationships of marriage or porneia. Relationships of commitment in marriage or divorce. And now he's dealing with our words. Our Lord is dealing with relationships. The ninth commandment. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Stop it. Did you say something to your neighbor? Especially your neighbor. But even more so, the basis of this is the third commandment. Third commandment is where we are not to bear or wear or carry the name of the Lord falsely. You're the people of God. You are bearing the name of the Lord. You're wearing it. You're carrying it about. Don't carry his name about falsely. That's the basis of this. All right. Summary so far, Old Covenant, God's people are a swearing, oath-taking people. It's to be done in his name. But our passage goes on, and our Lord says, but I say unto you, or, and I say unto you, do not swear at all. Do we stop right there? Our Lord didn't stop right there, but some people are tempted to stop right there and say, case closed. Our Lord said, that was then, this is now. As if our Lord, the one who says, verily, verily, the one who is the true word, is overturning the law that he just said he's not come to overturn. He said, I've not come to do away with the Lord, to discard the law. I've come to fulfill it. And what our Lord is teaching here is he's not saying, oh, it was said in the law of God, and that's wrong. What I'm saying now is this. That was wrath, I'm love. The Lord isn't doing that. But I say unto you, do not swear at all, neither by, he goes on, by heaven, or do not take an oath at all.
at all? No swearing? If that's what our Lord meant, and it's not what he meant, there are problems with other passages in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. The Apostle Paul swears. He takes an oath. He calls God as witness to his words. But I call God to witness against me. I'm getting ready to tell you something. God's going to hold me accountable. If what I'm saying is true or false, the Lord's going to sort this one out. I call the Lord as Lord God as witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming to Corinth. They're all going, I thought you said you were coming to Corinth. What happened? By the way, minds change legitimately, but there's to be communication. The Apostle Paul took an oath in the name of God. I call God as witness against me. You know what he said a few verses before that? 2 Corinthians 1:18. As surely as God is faithful, here's the basis. God is always faithful. He gave us his faithful word. If we're of God and of his word, we are to be faithful. Surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. When we say something, we mean it. So what is our Lord referring to in this passage? But I say unto you, do not take an oath at all, either by, the passage explains. What does our Lord do? He mentions this. Either by heaven, for it is the throne of God. Don't swear or take an oath at all by earth, for that is his footstool. Or by Jerusalem, for that is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your own head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. So our tendency is to go, okay, what's our Lord mean here? Our tendency is to look at the places and the things that our Lord has pointed to and go, what's our Lord saying here? Don't swear at all by those things? And, you know, it's possible that our Lord is saying, heaven, look up, that which you can see. Earth, look down, that which you walk upon. Jerusalem, a city, that which you can look around and touch. Or your own head, look within. Your own reason, your own self. It's possible that our Lord is saying, don't swear up, down, around, or within. It's possible. It's more likely that our Lord is targeting a tendency. He knows what it is people tend to do. He knows what we tend to do. We need to be careful of missing our Lord's teaching. Our swearing should not be by anything or any place as if the Lord is not witness. Heaven, it's his throne. Earth, it's his footstool. He's present. Jerusalem, that's the king's city. And your head, who made your head? Lord is present. Don't swear as if the Lord is absent. Pick your place, up, down, all around, or within. The Lord knows all, hears all, and sees all. Here it is. Our Lord is getting at our tendency to put him off to the side, even in our supposed commitments to him. Oh, yeah, I'm committed to the Lord. I'll think about him Sunday, maybe Thursday. We will offer and we will hold on to all kinds of loopholes. We will plan our escapes and we will strategize our evasions. We want to sidestep. We want an exit. We want an excuse to not keep our words, and our Lord targets that because the Lord knows all. You know what? Sometimes we'll even point to good and holy things. I was working. My family. I was busy. I was doing such and such. And this is what our Lord exposed in his woe passage, his passage of woes in Matthew 23. You know what they'll do? It's a big deal if you swear by the altar, but it's a much bigger deal if you swear by the gold on the altar. I've always got, you know what, that was important, but not as important as this. I've got my commitments here, but oh, this one trumps that. Lord knows it all. Quit fooling around. And you know, we all do this, and our tendency is to go, and I know people that have done that. I'll give you names. Make a list. Check it twice. There are always reasons. We're all guilty. There are always ways to blame. Always. And these reasons and this blame pointing will arise whenever we are exposed, made naked for not taking responsibility with our words and commitments. Stop excusing. Why? It's because you're carrying the Lord's name about with you. Oh yes, our Lord is addressing people who thought they were holding to the word. And he said, you know what? You're not keeping your word because you're missing the word. So what does our Lord say? Verse 37. Let your yes be yes. Yes? Yeah. Let your no? No. Whatever is more than these is from the evil one or is from evil. Say yes, do it. Let's conclude. A few points here by way of conclusion. We cannot evade our Lord's teaching here by saying, you know what, I didn't do it. I didn't oath in the name of the Lord. I didn't swear in His name. Because our Lord says, you know what, you're already carrying His name. Say yes and mean yes. Say no and mean no. Every commitment you've already made has been attested to by the Lord. We cannot play shell games and evasions. Can't do that. Stop it. Number two, as Christians, we are an oath-taking people. You know, we can sit together and we can have tea and complain about everyone else that's not keeping their words. Stop it. It starts here. In our families, in brother and sister relationships, in the church, in our marriages. Stop it. We are an oath-taking people because we belong to an oath-taking God. Hebrews chapter 6, we just heard it. Our Lord even swore by Himself. He can do that because there's no one greater to swear by. If the Lord swore by something, if the Lord swore by heaven, that He would be saying, heaven is greater than me, heaven's going to hold me accountable. No, He can't do that. Taking an oath is to swear, and Christians are expected to swear in this sense. It's a promissory statement. It's a pledge. Matter of fact, and I put it there in the sermon outline, the Westminster Confession of Faith has a chapter on lawful oaths. The second paragraph actually says, I'm going to read it to you. The name of God only is that by which men ought to swear. And therein it is to be used with all holy fear and reverence. Do you tremble? Did you give your word? Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'll pray for you. Did you tremble? Lord heard. Therefore, to swear vainly or rashly by that glorious and dreadful name, or to swear at all by any other thing, is sinful and to be abhorred. Yet, as in matters of weight and moment, an oath is warranted by the Word of God under the New Testament as well as under the Old, so a lawful oath being imposed by a lawful authority in such matters ought to be taken. I'm going to call you as witness. Come on up. I don't need to do that, but if that's what you ask, I'll do that. Because my yes is yes, my no, no. Number three. I mentioned evasions. There's something else here. We need to beware of setting aside our Lord's commands. Matthew 5:19, whoever relaxes makes it soft. One of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same. We're teaching through our example. Whoever softens the blow, I don't think it really means that. And our Lord is referring to his commandments here. Whoever softens one of the least of these commandments, we need to be careful of softening or setting aside our Lord's commands. What's the obvious way of doing this? Giving our word, our commitment, and then not doing it. But you know another way that we do this? Is not hearing our Lord's word as a word to me. And to start thinking of everyone else you know who's not doing this. It's another deflection. It's wearing mirrors. I'm going to wear mirrors. Oh, not me, you. Light, shine, you. Shine light on you. That's another way of evading the Lord's word here. We have to stop and go, you know what, did I say I was going to do that? You know what, I failed there, will you forgive me? You know what, last, final point. This is the first Sunday of Advent. Yes, we're marching through the sermon, the Gospel of Matthew through Advent. Yes, we are. But here, the first Sunday of Advent, I'd like to make one point about Advent. Let us join together in thanks and praise that our Lord has not kept his word the way we often keep our word. Let's give thanks to the Lord and praise to the Lord that he has kept his promises. He has kept his word and he has sent forth the one who is called the Word, who is also called the Yes and the Amen to all of the Lord's promises. And let us hold fast to him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we pray that your word will sink deeply into our hearing. Shape us according to your clear word. Where we are convicted, provide us with your Holy Spirit to guide us into your pleasure. Lord, I pray this for the honor of your name and for the beautification of your bride, the church. I pray this in the matchless name of Jesus and all of God's people said,